कुंजा बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी गोपी जन बालाहबा गिरिवार दारी गोपी जन बालाहबा गिरिवार दारी यशोर नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोर नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यमुना तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद जय विष्णु पाद परमहंस विजित स्तोत्र सरस्वती श्रीमान सर्वांगे श्री श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी सेव द वर्ल्ड श्री प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय इस्कॉन वीवी की फाउंडर आचार्य श्री प्रभुपाद की जय भगवद गीता एज इट इज की जय संकीर्तन यज्ञ की जय संडे लव फीस्ट की जय फ्रॉम अनंत प्रभु की जय जगत गुरु श्री प्रभुपाद की जय टैगोर प्रेमानंद ओम ज्ञानतिमरंदस्या जनंजना शलाकया चक्षुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So, how long can I speak until 6? Is that too late? Or 6 is good? Okay. You do some damage in that time, as you see. Don't take me literally. So I chose to say a few words about chapter 10, 6, 7, and 8. I won't read all of both purports, we won't have time, but some excerpts. All right, so how we can, let's just chant together then. Etam vibhutim yogam cha mamayo veti tatvataha so vikalpena yogena yujate natra samshayaham. Translation, one who is factually convinced of this opulence and mystic power of mind engages in unalloyed devotional service. Of this there is no doubt. And then the next, is it up there? Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate iti matva bachante mam buddha bhava samanvitaham. Translation, I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. All right, I guess I will read the purport to the first verse. It's not very long. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The highest summit of spiritual perfection is knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unless one is firmly convinced of the different opulences of the Supreme Lord, he cannot engage in devotional service. Generally, people know that God is great, but they do not know in detail how God is great. Here are the details. If one knows factually how God is great, then naturally he becomes a surrendered soul and engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord. When one factually knows the opulences of the Supreme, there is no alternative but to surrender to him. This factual knowledge can be known from the descriptions of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and similar literatures. In the administration of this universe, there are many demigods distributed throughout the planetary system, and the chief of them are Brahma, Lord Shiva, the four great Kumaras, and the other patriarchs. In the previous verse, these were mentioned. There are many forefathers of the population of the universe, and all of them are born of the Supreme Lord Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the original forefather of all forefathers. These are some of the opulences of the Supreme Lord. When one is firmly convinced about them, he accepts Krishna with great faith and without any doubt, and he engages in devotional service. All this particular knowledge is required in order to increase one's interest in the loving devotional service of the Lord. One should not neglect to understand fully how great Krishna is, for by knowing the greatness of Krishna, one will be able to be fixed in sincere devotional service. That was the purport to text 7. And in text 8, it's kind of a long purport. And all the Vedic literature, Prabhupada will go on to explain. And we may note here that Srila Prabhupada will proceed from Shruti to Smriti, in other words, from the actual four Vedas, the specifically Upanishad references, and then to a few other quotes from literature in accordance with the Vedic version. That all the Vedic literature agrees that Krishna is the source of Brahma, Shiva, and the other demigods. So what I did here was I just copied the English. I'm not going to read even the references. Just you can look on your own time. You can look at the purport if you're scholarly and you want to know which shastra, which reference. So I'll just read the English. First quote, it was Krishna who in the beginning instructed Brahma in Vedic knowledge and who disseminated Vedic knowledge in the past. Now keep in mind, everything I'm reading now are translations from, mostly from Upanishad. Then next quote Prabhupada gives is, then the Supreme Personality of God and Narayan desired to create living entities. Then the next quote, from Narayan, Brahma is born. From Narayan, the patriarchs are born. From Narayan, Indra is born. From Narayan, the 8 Vasus are born. From Narayan, the 11 Rudras are born. And from Narayan, the 12 Adityas are born. Now don't get, Prabhupada goes right here and he adds in the purport, his own words, this Narayan is an expansion of Krishna. The son of Devaki, Krishna, is the Supreme Personality. That's still another quote. Then another quote. In the beginning of the creation, there was only the Supreme Personality, Narayan. There was no Brahma, no Shiva, no water, no fire, no moon, no stars in the sky, no sun. And the last quote. The patriarchs, Shiva, and others are created by me, though they do not know that they are created by me, because they are deluded by my illusory energy. And the last quote, Narayan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and from him Brahma was born, from whom Shiva was born. We know that Lord Shiva, the Rudra came out of the forehead of Lord Brahma, an incident with the four Kumaras. Now the last paragraph of the purport I'll just read verbatim, so not very long. Lord Krishna is the source of all generations, and he is called the most efficient cause of everything. He says, because everything is born of me, I am the original source of all. Everything is under me. No one is above me. So Prabhupada continues, there is no supreme controller other than Krishna. One who understands Krishna in such a way from a bona fide spiritual master, with references from the Vedic literature, engages all his energy in Krishna consciousness and becomes a truly learned man. In comparison to him, all others who do not know Krishna properly are but fools. Only a fool would consider Krishna to be an ordinary man. A Krishna conscious person should not be bewildered by fools. He should avoid all unauthorized commentaries and interpretations on Bhagavad Gita and proceed in Krishna consciousness with determination and firmness. Hare. So, in order to even hope to love God, we must know him. Of course, we are so tiny, and Krishna is even beyond infinite. So we can only know him. What do I mean when I say beyond infinite? Someone will raise their hand. How can anything be beyond infinite? Well, beyond the mathematical sense of infinite. It's just quantitative, but Krishna's also qualitative. I mean, it's just such a broader sense of the term infinite. Of course, we are so tiny and Krishna is even beyond. So we can only know him to a certain extent, and this varies with the devotee's level of devotion. Now, what is this? And Prabhupada doesn't, is not, this isn't Prabhupada's words, this is my presentation, so it sounds different than it is. Now, what is this? We need to know him in order to love him, and yet we need to possess bhakti, loving devotion, in order to know him. Not as bad as it sounds. The first verse, 7, assures us that even knowing the greatness, or rather the magnitude of the greatness of the Lord, can actually provoke us to serve him. And in the next verse, Krishna has encouraged us further. Knowing Krishna's identity as the source of all worlds, of everything, provokes one to engage in my devotional service and worship me with all one's heart. That someone like me, raised within an atheist mindset, could sit here in front of you and attempt to glorify God, Lord Sri Krishna, is made possible only by Srila Prabhupada's incredible causeless mercy. Now, in a little while, before we know it, well, let's June now, so fairly soon we'll start the Dhamma Dharastika prayers all over the world, Namishvaram Sachin. And then there we always remember that the devotee is acknowledging that actually Krishna is much more attracted to devotees who worship him intimately. For instance, Mother Yasoda, so intimate. Chastising him. He likes that more than devotees who approach him in a mood of awe and reverence. But these verses in Bhagavad Gita are also ways of approaching Krishna and stressing the majestic feature. You've heard about multi-level marketing. Well, in some sense, many of us are involved in multi-level bhakti. In other words, we like, for instance, here in this temple, the morning Bhagavatam classes are in the 10th canto, which is the smiling face of the Lord. And at the same time, we don't feel we're wasting our time. Even those of us who are fortunate enough to be following the morning classes, and you're all fortunate enough, just take advantage, that we also feel uplifted by being reminded that God is all powerful. He's omniscient. He's always the cause of all causes. It's wholesome. It's good for us. It's a way, that conundrum I mentioned, that apparent paradox. You need to love God, you need to practice bhakti, which implies devotion, some cultivation of love of God, in order to know him. Bhakti-mam abhijananti, and you all know that verse. But then at the same time, in order to have that love, or that even just have that service attitude, you have to know him. So where's the entry level way of knowing him? That we can do, even if my love as yet has not been developed very much. I may be very neophyte on the path of bhakti yoga. But as Prabhupada, he gave us so much scriptural references. So by referring to the Vedic scriptures, we can become inspired if we respect the Vedic scriptures. And even if we're not so, maybe coming more from the West, and we're not so attuned to it, and we may not have so much inspiration from the Vedic scriptures, at least at the beginning of our encounter with Krishna consciousness, then there's another thing. It's called, first of all, the Bhagavad Gita itself. Of course, that's a Vedic scripture, we can say, but these verses we're reading. But even by simple logic, the universe is so great. When I walk to the temple in the morning, I can actually see the stars in the sky. And you look up and you see how huge everything is, and you start to wonder about where it's coming from. We were a child, what was that limerick? Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Anyway, you all know, what's the rest of it? Anyway, like a diamond in the sky, like that. So it's very fascinating, not just fascinating, but it's awesome. Not awesome like, hey, that's an awesome pizza back there. It's awesome. No, but really awesome, like awesome in the real sense of the term. It's awe-inspiring. And most people, I mean, I wouldn't say most people, most of us, I should hope, are not attracted to Big Bang Theory and that everything just came from nothing. And these things are nonsensical. They don't make sense. There must be some more substantial basis of the universe. So these kinds of thoughts, with some logic, and also I mentioned that so much Shastric reference, we can acknowledge and be moved to serve him. One who knows this mystic power, this opulence of mine, at once engaged in my devotional service. And then next verse, with all their hearts, Krishna, the cause of all causes, Param Satyam Dimahi, at the beginning of Bhagavatam. I worship him. Why? Not only because he's so attractive, Krishna's all attractive, that may come a little later, to understand that and appreciate that. But even at the beginning, there's one darn good reason to worship Krishna, because he is Satyam Param Dimahi. He is the absolute truth, the cause of all causes. It's described. I was trying to find the verse, and I couldn't find it. I didn't remember the language well enough in the Veda base. I think it's in Canto 11. It says, anything which is caused by something else is ultimately nothing other than that which caused it. And then you work your way backwards. Then that cause had a cause, and that cause had a cause, and that cause had a cause. And then you finally get to sarva karana karana. So we may not have time or the ability to go through all these almost infinite number of steps, of causal steps. That verse in 10th canto, shoka harsha vayakroda loba moha matanvitaha mito gyantam napasyanti babair babam pritavisha. That those with the vision of differentiation, they're always very busy dealing with the immediate causes, trying to counteract these causes through getting money, through some political manipulation, or fighting, or so many technologies, so many ways we're trying to counteract the immediate causes of our distress most of the time. Mataji mentioned that we need air conditioning, because that's for the pleasure of the deities, but even for the temple room, or, you know, whatever. This is counteracting. Now, that we have to do to a certain extent. We can do that in the service of the Lord. But the deeper sense is, as the verse goes on to say, they're always busy counteracting these immediate causes. Why is that? Because they don't know the ultimate cause. They're not focused on sarva karana karanam, the cause of all causes. So they're always distracted. And what is the result? Harsha, shoka, vayar, krodha, lova, moha. They're always afflicted with these dualities. Jubilation, lamentation, madness, greed, envy, and so many. Not very, you might say jubilation is great, but it's just the flip side of the coin, materially speaking, of lamentation. So there's also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, another from another angle of vision. I mean, I'm trying to get out with this quote is this idea that we can appreciate Krishna is the absolute truth. He's the cause of all causes. Everything rests on him. In one sense, he is everything. And yet at the same time, he is beyond everything. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, the very advanced devotee is described, stabala changama deki na deki spura murti sarvatra hayani cha. What is it? Ishta eva spurti. That the advanced devotee, it's not like they're all blind, that they need to be, you know, guided. They can't walk in this world. Although sometimes they may not be, apparently, they could be like madmen or something, or not so well oriented materially because they're so absorbed in the ecstasy. And why are they so absorbed? It's not that they don't see. They see everything, stavara, jangama, they see everything moving and not moving, but they don't exactly see their forms. Rather, they see reality. You can say they see in philosophical terms the noumena rather than the phenomena. They see the actual, what's really out there, the things in themselves, what is really existing. And what is really existing? They see the energy of Krishna everywhere. You can say, well, this is a material world, but if one sees the material energy, it's actually Krishna's energy. It is Maya. If it's Maya, you say Maya, but it's my Maya. It's my energy. And when one sees even the material illusory energy like that, then it's not a cause of bewilderment anymore. The advanced devotee, he doesn't really recognize Maya, the Uttama Adhikar. He sees everything, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So this advanced devotee described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, everywhere he sees the energy of the Lord, and seeing the energy of the Lord, he becomes totally ecstatic. He sees Krishna. Seeing the potency, and even the paraphernalia or the forms that the energy of the Lord has taken, he sees everything in terms of Krishna. He sees Krishna as the cause of all causes. It's not for him, it's not that he has to go through a logical process and analyze and reduce everything down to finally its ultimate cause, Krishna. Of course, such process of reduction doesn't annihilate our existence. We still, mamaivam sajiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana, we're eternally there. It's not that we become boiled down and actually there's only Brahman or something like that. There's Krishna, there's the devotees of Krishna, there's the spiritual world, and from time to time there's this cosmic manifestation. So that's our basic thesis, you might say, basic idea here, is that we, I said multi-level levels, what I mean is that although Krishna is more pleased by worshiping in an intimate way, how do we get to that level? Well, we're working on it by chanting the holy names. Let's see, let's try that. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Very nice. So chanting more and more focused, then that's the panacea. That will get us there. But also, it's good to have the support. It's wholesome for us to recognize the glory of God, the power of God, how Krishna, his mystic opulences. It's pointed out that this these texts that we're reading this evening, That also is connected with Arjuna's question, Bhaktu Maharaj Shishina, Divya Hiyatmi Bhutaya, Yavir Vibhutamir Lokan, Ramsam Vyatya Tishtati, Tishtasi. He's saying, let me see your mystic opulence by which you pervade all these worlds. And Krishna, he's going to show his majesty at the same time with Arjuna. He's a friend. So he'll say, Hanta, Hanta. Yes, my dear one. You can say Hanta means yes. But he says, Hanta yeta prati yishmani. Divya hiyat. Same line again. Divya hiyatma bivutaya. Padanyata kurusheshta. Nantos. Nantos mi vishtarasya me. That my opulences are unlimited, but I'll give you some hints about it. And then it goes into the vibhuti yogas, the same word that's there in the first text, itam vibhutim yogam cha, and who knows the opulences. He'll naturally worship. Yeah, even with some spontaneity, if we can just remain cognizant of it, not so distracted by all the immediate cause, which superficially it appears that we have the ability to lord it over and control and manipulate. But sooner or later, we find out that Maya is stronger than we are. Unless we're surrendering to the source, the controller of Maya, the very source of all energies, the Supreme Lord. This material energy consisting of the three modes, very difficult to overcome, but one who has surrendered to me can easily course beyond. It was Srila, just a little information here on text 8. It was Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur who has identified this and the following three verses. In other words, this is he identified these as the Chatur Shloki of the Bhagavad Gita. We always hear these are the four key verses. So it was Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that was able to identify that. So both of these verses we're looking at deal with inspiration gained by knowing the magnitude of Krishna's opulence. Not that we can know all of Krishna's opulence, but we get a sense of the magnitude, what level, what dimension of opulence. Prabhupada would give the example sometimes. If I introduce you to a wealthy man, this is Mr. Smith. He's a very, very important, you know, businessman. And you look at him, and okay, he's got some signs of a wealthy man. He's got the right kind of pen, the right kind of watch. He's dressed in a $2,000 suit. He looks quite wealthy. But, you know, you're kind of like to yourself, you're wondering, well, is he just like got a couple of $1 million, which nowadays is not such a great big deal? Or is he actually a billionaire? Or perhaps he's the richest man in Idaho or whatever. You know, how do I know what level? You know, maybe he's even like Bill Gates or Warren Buffett or one of these guys. So you don't really know. You'll have a different attitude towards him. You'll be more disposed to render service to him, materially speaking, if you knew he was more than just a millionaire. If you knew he was a multi-billionaire or something like that. Now, I'm not idolizing these people. Actually, it could become quite negative. But the thing is that in the case of the Lord, to know up to the level of many religious communities, Hebraeo-Christian, whatever, that God is great, that's nice. It's pious. It's okay. But to know how God is great, to know sense of the magnitude of his greatness. We also hear the cause of all causes, that's there in Western theology. But we really focus on that. Janma dasya yataha, Krishna's the absolute truth, the cause of all causes. And everything we see around us is ultimately none other than that cause. And yet we're not impersonalists. We are, as I mentioned earlier, eternally servants of Krishna. We eternally exist and we're eternally his servants. Not in this exactly the same format as in the material world. Although as aspiring Vaishnavas and aspiring Rasika Bhaktas, we can say, we're gradually getting some sense of this, and this is all by Krishna's mercy, by Prabhupada's mercy. So I'll leave a little time for questions. It's 10 minutes. I can make many other points, but it's a Sunday feast lecture, and we want to keep things moving. Right? So we have some special guests. I know Pancha Goda may not be right here, but he's the temple president in Sri Vrindavan Dham. I assume he'll be going back and continuing that service. And we have Sureshwara Prabhu, who's a very learned godbrother. How about Sureshwara? Do you have anything you'd like to ask or contribute? Nothing at the moment. Okay. There will be a memorial service in a few days, and the devotees will be sharing. I won't be there. Okay. One notable experience I had was back in the 1980s, I think it was, Brahmananda came, and maybe early 90s, and he was giving class, maybe it was Bhagavatam class in the temple in the current Skirmohorn Street temple in downtown Brooklyn. And his father had passed away. I actually had the honor of driving him up to Connecticut to deal with some of those legal matters and things after that happened. But his father, he had just come from the funeral, and he was telling us that when he was in the funeral, everybody was saying, "What happened? What happened? What happened?" And he explained that he was not in that mindset. He wasn't surprised that that death takes place, because he knew, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, like we're just like a drop of water on the bottom of a lotus leaf. You can fall at any moment. So the lotus feet say, like this body, and we the soul, we can become detached from this body. I don't mean detached voluntarily. I mean, you know, leave the body at any moment. It's so what he was saying, I mean, you might say he was just at the funeral. How could it be humorous? But it was humorous. He was saying his perspective was, what? How is it? You're still in the same body? Wow, I am too so far. That's amazing. Words, he was saying exactly the opposite. The material world is such a dangerous place. There's so many different ways that the body can go haywire. You don't necessarily have to get, you know, into your 60s and 70s and 80s. There's so many ways that the body can go wrong. What to speak of accidents and nuclear war, or, you know, you name it. I mean, so many things can happen. So the amazing thing is that here we are. Krishna's given us one more day in these bodies to utilize this rare human form of life, this even more rare association with Srila Prabhupada and his representatives, pure devotees of the Lord, to go back to home, back to Godhead. That's the amazing thing, that we haven't left the body yet. So he was seeing it exactly the opposite. The way he presented it, it was very edifying. And it also made us laugh in a serious way. Can you laugh in a serious way? Yeah, we were. I couldn't replicate it very well, so I couldn't make you laugh. But anyway, that was one remembrance I had. I think others in the audience may have had a lot more associations. So that will come up in the... I think there'll be some remembrances in the memorial service coming up. And then you can also get the book that just came out. I mean, it's kind of fortunate that, and we thank Satyaraj Prabhu also for getting that together, a long overdue book of Brahmananda Prabhu's remembrances of Prabhupada and his relationship with Prabhupada. And, you know, that came out timely. So all of us Prabhupada disciples who've had association with Prabhupada, if you haven't written your memoirs, it may not be even 1/100th as voluminous as Brahmananda Prabhu's, but any little snidget of nectar of how you saw Prabhupada and associated with him and reciprocated, and how he reciprocated with you, we should all write it down. And I've been always urged to do that, and I hope I can also do it timely. So, all right, I think, does anyone have any question about the Bhagavad Gita text that we were talking about? This idea that it's not like we should, how should we say, take a cavalier attitude or become indifferent to hearing about the majestic feature of the Lord. It doesn't mean that now we're becoming Sri Vaishnavas or something like that, but we are coming. Most of us are coming, most of us from the West, and it helps us become relieved, it helps us become purified of inevitable impersonal or atheistic tendencies that we still may have some vestiges of that in our psychology or in our consciousness. I know for myself, it's wholesome. I like to hear how Darwin is defeated. I like to hear how there must be God. It helps me. You might say it's like a crutch, but you know, you kind of like, you need that below, and then you can also try to cultivate the more nectarian and sweet descriptions of Krishna and Radha Krishna and Vrindavan. Yes, Prabhu, Chaitanya Guru. Is there another microphone by any chance? No? Yes, okay. Yeah, Janardhan is bringing the other microphone. Janardhan Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. For a regular conditioned soul, it's proper to try to worship Krishna in another, in a level less, more than awe and reverence. I mean to say, just getting to know that he's big and, you know, he's great. For a conditioned soul, trying to go beyond that, like trying to get into a type of worship, you know, more intimate. It's not that offensive, but because he's not actually to that level yet. So it's something like trying to get in something he's not even his business.
Is this a comment or a question?
No,
it's a question. I think that, so putting it as a question, Prabhu is asking, you're saying for an ordinary conditioned soul,
yeah,
is it proper to try to get this feeling of Bob, or get this more advanced kind of feeling of intimate understanding of Krishna? Well, certainly wonderful. Anyone who tries to attach themselves to Krishna, and Krishna, the very name Krishna, is all attractive. The main concern is that, and I guess I was trying to emphasize the point, is that ordinary conditioned souls, or even all of you who are extraordinary, maybe still slightly conditioned souls, but still, that's wonderful. But for myself, at least, I wouldn't, renounce remembering and reading the earlier cantos of Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, which remind us also of Krishna's loving relationship with devotee, but an awful lot, a lot of Krishna's supreme position. Etam vibhutim yogam cha mama yoveti tat. There's no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. These verses are very arresting. They're very reassuring and give a lot of support. So that's why I use the term multi-level. We can work both ways. We can become more advanced, then you don't need that anymore. Mother Yasoda doesn't have to know that Krishna is God. Anybody else? Okay. Oh, Kardama Muni Prabhu, my old bhakta leader from many, many moons ago.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Jai, Hari Bol, great to see you.
What about Shraddha? Does faith, what is the relationship of faith to knowledge?
Well, I was listening to a seminar by that very name, Faith and Knowledge, by Ravindra Sarupapu. It's a three-part seminar. It goes very deeply into the subject. The point is that there's no question of any area of knowledge, whether it's science or religion, it all requires some faith. If you really analyze it, I don't have time to explain, but it's all based. You go to university and you sit down there, you listen to a professor in science, and you just write the things down, or you just enter it into your laptop, and you take it, you accept it. You don't go into the laboratory right away and start doing the empirical experiments, and it takes a while before you're allowed to do that. And some of the experiments are so esoteric that probably hardly anyone understands them or can even have access to them. So there is always faith involved. Everyone is, as Prabhupada told a non-devotee by the name of Professor Katovsky in a famous encounter. He had a number of points that were covered, and relevant to your question is the point that everyone accepts authority, which means faith. Everyone is putting their faith in some authority. You put your faith in Marx, Lenin, Trotsky, and we put our faith in Krishna. But you're the same as us. We have to. In other words, we're always accepting some authority. Or just accepting the authority of my senses, just like the animals do. So the faith... faith, ado shraddha, so the process of devotional service means that now I'm getting, as what was his name? What was that deep programmer's name? Ted Patrick. You know, Ted Patrick says he's hooked. Talking about Balavanta Prabhu, it's on TV. Then I saw the TV programming. He's hooked. They're hooked. You know. So yes, let us become hooked. The first step is we become hooked, ado shraddha, that yes, it might not be a waste of my time, it might be fun, it might be edifying, maybe I'll even learn something if I go to the Hare Krishna temple. And I heard they have good food. So, all right, initial faith, ado shraddha, tata sadhu sanghasya. And then the next is that it's not bad associating with the Hare Krishna people. Some of them are pretty far out, but they're interesting, and they're different, and then they seem to have some knowledge coming down from an ancient tradition. Okay, let me go on. And then you get initiated and the whole thing, and then your shraddha becomes nista. Actually, Prabhupada defines knowledge as faith. I think in 241, you look at the purport. He says, anyway, that's... For further, it's a homework assignment. Not you. Okay, any last comment, last minute comment or questions before we go on to... Usually, you know, I'm so excited because I'm on a special diet, but because I'm leaving Alachua on a very, very early Tuesday morning, and my doctor said that once in a while it's okay if you go up your diet. So I'm all excited. I'll be able to participate with you in it. Most of the regular feast prasad, let's put it like that. Thank you so much for your kind attention. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ramananda Prabhu ki jai. Jai Go Premananda.